speaker, Kim H. from the precinct region. She's going to speak on self-acceptance.
Hi, family. I'm Kim, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. First of all, I want to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to make it here safely and allowing you guys to get here also safely without any incidents. And it's just always an honor to be in the presence of recovering addicts. I want to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous for putting this together. This is no small feat. No small feat, and a lot of work and sacrifice and hard hours goes into putting on an event like this. So I'm going to thank you. Thank the committee for asking me to come out and give a part of me. I know I can only keep what I have by giving it away. You know, I didn't think about sharing or any of that until like a few days ago. And I said, 11:45, you know, dark 30. So I'm going to have some fun with this. I'm supposed to come up here and give you a piece of me, but I'm going to tell you a bedtime story. Okay? So right now I'm picturing everybody and now no lingerie, but I'm going to picture everybody in your robes and your fluffy pajamas and your house shoes, and I'm going to tell you a bedtime story. Okay? The topic is self-acceptance, and I'm going to tell you about this little girl. And the little girl is me. And the little girl grew up on a farm. We're going to call her Dorothy. And this little girl grew up on the farm, but let's call the farm the hood in Columbus, Ohio. Okay? And so she grew up on this farm, and she had all these issues that she didn't know were issues at the time. And so she grew up on this farm. She never felt like she belonged. She had all these issues with herself. She didn't like herself. You know, she was pigeon-toed, she was knot-kneed when she ran, her knees knocked together. She had these two big old teeth that everybody teased her about. Her hair wasn't straight enough, it wasn't long enough. Her parents weren't like the parents that lived next door. You know, so she had resentment with her mama because her mother was a housewife and she wasn't educated. We didn't have a car, Dorothy didn't have a car. So she never felt like she measured up to the people that she was around. See, it wasn't until years later that Dorothy realized that she didn't like herself. She didn't have any self-acceptance. So Dorothy, with her issues on the farm, they start to overtake her, and turbulence and storms started to come into Dorothy's life. And she started to reach outside herself to take other things to make her feel like she belonged. You know, once she introduced substances into her life, she could hang with the best of them. She felt like she belonged. It didn't matter that her clothes weren't the latest fashion. It didn't matter that, you know, her parents didn't measure up to the other parents. So Dorothy went on her life, and the storms got stronger, and they swept her up in this cyclone. And this cyclone, we'll call a cyclone active addiction. And the cyclone took Dorothy to places that she never thought that she could go. The cyclone had her, and it started out real good. It was one of them mild storms. You know, we liked the rain, and, you know, the rainbow was out, and Dorothy kind of enjoyed the storm early on. But as she continued to go through her act of addiction, the storm got rough. And this house that Dorothy was in, it just threw her all over the place. The storm took her to corners. The storm took her to abandoned houses, alleys, doing things that she didn't want to do just to get one more. And so in this storm, Dorothy ended up catching cases and going to jail and taking herself through self-hatred to places that she never thought she would go. And so the storm lasted for a few years, and Dorothy was just tossed and thrown all about, and she experienced some really rough time. But when the storm ended and Dorothy came out of the storm, the house that Dorothy was in landed on the Wicked Witch. We can call that Wicked Witch whatever you want to call it, whatever you use, whether it was crack, whether it was pills, whether it was powder, whether it was alcohol. You know, we know a drug is a drug. But when Dorothy came out of the house, the colors, it was just really bright. It was beautiful. And she was in this faraway land that she ain't know anything about. And we're going to call that land recovery. And there was all these funny looking people standing around. They were Lilliputians, the lollipop kids. We're going to call that the fellowship. And they was talking language to Dorothy. And here again, Dorothy was in a place where she did not feel she belonged. She didn't know how to relate. She didn't know the language. See, Dorothy still didn't know that she didn't like herself. You know, Dorothy hadn't accepted the things that make her who she was. Dorothy, as a matter of fact, didn't even know who she was at this time. And it never dawned on her that she, all these years, did not know who she was. Dorothy had a habit of latching on to whoever she was. She could be whoever the people she was around wanted her to be. She was kind of like the lady on Coming to America. Whatever you like, that's who Dorothy was. Whatever you wanted is who Dorothy would be. You know, and we didn't really talk about like Dorothy's mom. We're going to call her Auntie M. Dorothy really didn't realize that she had these resentments with the people that she raised her. So she had the resentment with Auntie M, and that's why Dorothy got caught up in a lot of the storm and in the cyclone. So when the house landed on the Wicked Witch and Dorothy came out into the land, and was introduced to the lollipop kids, Dorothy learned to talk. She learned the fellowship talk. Dorothy was introduced to the wicked, to the good witch, Glinda. We'll call her Dorothy's sponsor. And Dorothy's sponsor and friends, we're going to call the friends, the lollipop kids, they told Dorothy a lot of good things about what she needed to do to get closer to knowing and loving herself. Glinda's job was to guide Dorothy to the Wizard of Oz. And the fellowship gave her some good points as to what she needed to do. And they said, follow the yellow brick road. We'll call them the 12 steps. Through the 12 steps, Dorothy started to find out who Dorothy was. And it hasn't been a good journey. It hasn't been an easy journey. You know, Dorothy got clean and ended up in Oz on January 31st, 1994. And through that time, Dorothy experienced a lot of good times and a lot of bad times. It was a struggle. But Dorothy continued to follow the yellow brick road. And on that yellow brick road, Dorothy ran into some friends. We'll call those the others that our literature talks about. The Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. And they all were going to Oz, to the Emerald City, to the Wizard of Oz, to find the Wizard of Oz. Now, neither did all of them had a specific thing that they were going to ask the wizard for. But what they really didn't realize is what the wizard was giving to each one of them, it was for all of them. So, you know, in recovery, oftentimes when we go and we're seeking something for ourselves, we don't really realize that it's for us all. So on this road, Dorothy ran into, there were flying monkeys. There were poppy fields, temptation. On the road to get to Oz, Dorothy continued to abuse herself, neglect herself, you know, not take care of herself. You know, I was reading our physical selves, and in our Living Clean, The Journey Continues, and it talks about as we as we learn to take care of ourselves, as we get closer to loving ourselves, we'll start to take better care of ourselves. In that we're physical beings and as well as spiritual beings. It says, as addicts, we are prone to alienation, the feeling of being apart from, sometimes we even feel apart from ourselves, as if all these pieces of who we are don't add up to a whole person. You know, still in recovery, and I'm talking about years in recovery, Dorothy didn't like things about herself. Continued to put herself in situations that and make choices that went against everything that Narcotics Anonymous teaches and believes. You know, it never dawned on her that by being with people that you didn't want to be with, by sacrificing morals and spiritual principles just to live a certain way because y'all think that's how Dorothy's supposed to live. So for 20 years, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, for 20 years, Dorothy was in a space where it was never really about her. She continued to be a people pleaser. She continued to sell her values and her morals for the sake of others. She continued to be in a place she didn't want to be in because she prostituted herself, and I'm not saying out there on the corner, but she prostituted her morals and her values for material gain. You know, our literature talks about social acceptability doesn't equal recovery. Dorothy, me, Kim H., thought that accepting myself and loving myself had to do with outside appearances. Thought that I was recovering because I had the car, I had the house, I had the education, I had the husband. You know, one of the things that I started to realize is how many of us, when someone says, tell me about yourself, how many of us start off with, well, I work here, I'm married to this person, I live here, I got X amount of kids, you know, I got my degree from here. We never really tell them about who we are. We tell them about what we have, what we do. And so through the course of wandering around and I was trying to get to the Emerald City, Dorothy had gathered all these material things. And Dorothy thought she was recovering her butt off. And on my way to get to Oz, and Glenda was there all along, but on my way to get to Oz or to Emerald City, I did not realize that what I was doing was really just fumbling around. My great-grandsponsor said, stop fumbling the F around. Fumbling around. Filling a void. Reaching outside of me to make me feel whole. Not realizing that there was this emptiness inside that nothing, no amount of material things that could feel. Had it all and was miserable. Miserable. So, on my way to Emerald City, get to Oz, and tell Oz what we want. And Oz looks at all of us, Dorothy and others, and he says, go! And we go running off and we go try to amass the things that we think we're supposed to have. You know, the brain, the heart, the courage, you know, and Dorothy find her way home. And through the journey in recovery, what I found out is that all those things that I was looking for in everybody else was already in me. Was already in me. You know, home was in me. Not where I thought it, where I tried to be. I tried to fit in wherever. I was already home in Narcotics Anonymous. I already had the brain. I just had to learn how to use it in ways that were beneficial to me, that were spiritual, that were that pertained to my values. I had the courage. I've gone through some stuff in recovery that a lesser woman will probably be high or dead. In the last 3 years, I've experienced more life-changing events than some people experience in their whole lifetime. I have the courage. I had the courage in me, but I just never wanted to tap into the courage because the familiarity of being in a messy, painful situation that I knew was better than the unknown. And stepping out of my comfort zone. See, a comfort zone doesn't mean it is rosy and it's nice. You know, it's just you're comfortable. So the courage, I stepped in and I stepped out on the courage and I found where home was. Home is where you're peaceful and you're happy and you're serene and you're safe. So it... So at 19 years, I walked away from everything. I walked away from everything and I went to a city that I didn't know anyone and I set up a house and I didn't know how I was going to make it, what was going to happen or anything. And I need to say that God has been God all by himself and he's been showing out and for 19 years, I didn't think I could make it on my own. I didn't think I could, you know, the lack of self-acceptance had me thinking that I needed somebody to take care of me. And as a result of that, I latched on to the first person that wanted to take care of me. And it was painful because I sold my safety for for a house and a car and, you know, just a real comfortable lifestyle that I didn't think I could provide on my own. And so for the last 3 years, Dorothy's been home. Dorothy's been home. It's a life that I never dreamed possible. Everything that I feared were just that, fear. You know, going through that that forest on the way to the Emerald City, you know, and everything coming at me. You know, the movie talks about lions and tigers and bears. Well, I say anger, resentment, and fear. You know, that's what I had been... that's what I had been, what's been driving me all these years in recovery. Anger, resentment, and fear. You know, and today they don't drive me. Today I love who I am. Today, I mean, all the good, the bad, the indifference. I've been able to, take some time and really find out who I am. What I like, what I don't like, what I won't put up with, my boundaries, my no's mean no. No is a complete sentence. You know, I had to accept, you know, a lot of people when we talk about self-acceptance, they want to talk about, you know, accepting like all the bad stuff. You know, I had to accept that there's some good in me. that I'm a caring person. I'm loyal to a fault. You know, I'm a caretaker, a nurturer, but to a fault it can turn into caretaking, where and that's where I damage myself. See, I understand that all of my good characteristics can be distorted and cause me harm. You know, so I started finding out that, you know, I'm not a bad person. I made some bad decisions. I allowed some the wrong people in my circle oftentimes because I, you know, for fear of being alone. You know, today I can sit in my house, not turn the TV on, not turn the radio on, be in there and just chilling and have a good time. I can entertain myself. I don't have to have a whole bunch of people around me that I don't even like just so I have company. You know, I've learned so much. God just knew what he was doing. He, you know, had it been, and I tried. But and I tried unsuccessfully, but had it been my way after leaving that 20-year relationship, I'd immediately been married again. And I tried latching on to people just because I didn't want to be alone. You know, today I can accept that for what that is. You know, God allowed me to be by myself. You know, I went through surgery in a city I ain't know nobody. New job, new house, new fellowship. I mean, it was just, everything was new. And God kept me. He kept me. You know, so I'm gonna wrap this up, but through going through my storm and finding out who I am, Auntie M was sick. And when I moved to Maryland, I was going to move her with me. And she got sicker. And so I left her in Ohio. And for 2.5 years, I was going back and forth to Ohio every 2 weeks. Every 2 months. Every 4 to 6 weeks to see about my mother. And in June, 07-20 of last year, my mom passed away. And one of the things I know that even though I had the resentment with my mother, I worked through the resentment with my mother. I accepted it for exactly what it was. And I was there for my mother. And that was my amends to her. You know, I was there for my mother from 500 miles away more than her siblings and my siblings who were an hour away. And the morning that my mom passed, I had just been there for a whole week and had been home for 12 hours. And I got the call. And I turned around and threw everything back in the car and made that 7-hour drive back. And I share that to say that God gives you, and recovery gives you, a strength like no other. I didn't break down. I went into get shit done mode. I'm good for that. If there's a task that needs to be done, I don't care how I feel. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what you want me to do or anything else. I get into get shit done mode. I'm a task master. You know, very organized. So I went into that mode. I got back, I took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. My sponsor was amazing. My recovery family was amazing. When I turned around that weekend and at that church and I looked out, because my mom wasn't, she didn't really have any friends. My mom didn't go anywhere. But when I looked out, aside from the handful of family members I had, the church was full of my friends. You know, people from the job, people, I mean, it was full of my friends. And they helped me see my mom home. You know, and that was really special for me. I've been there for other people, in times like that, but I'm the kind of person that's very hard for me to allow people to be there for me. And so, but they were there for me. You know, so I kind of didn't really grieve my mom. I don't even think I've grieved my mom yet. I haven't broken down and fall on the floor and crying and snotting. What I can say is I believe I grieved my mother over the last 4 years where she was bedridden, and every time I go see her, whether she knew who I was or not, when I walked out that room, I think a little part of me accepted the fact that she wasn't going to be here that much longer. This process has allowed me to be a mother to not only two children that I birthed, but to three others that out of the marriage. And today I have relationships with my girls that are, my daughter's my best friend. I Skype my daughter for like 3 hours every Saturday. We talk. And I'm sharing that to say that God has blessed me with an opportunity in my career, that I've met some people. And one of the gentlemen that I met and worked for a year hired my 27-year-old daughter, sight unseen, just because he got tired of me whining about she's way down there and I can't get to her. And so next weekend, my daughter's moving from Charlotte to Baltimore with my grandbaby. That's a blessing in itself because my daughter hasn't lived with me for 23 years. I lost custody. I actually, the guy that was here speaking, one of the workshops I listened to, I heard him say, I actually abandoned my daughter when she was 4 years old. I went to get one more. And I never came back. And when they found my daughter, she was sitting on the couch with her 9-month-old brother feeding him. And I had been gone for 18 hours maybe. And so it's special because today I have a relationship with that young lady. And it's only because I haven't picked up. Because of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to tell you, through hell and high water, everything I've gone through, I have not found it necessary to use. You know, there's some things about me that I'm still working on as far as accepting. I snore, y'all. I snore bad. And I'm going to tell y'all, it's to the point, I mean, it's very uncomfortable. I've tried everything, surgeries and everything else. And it's funny because I make a joke of it. It just depends on whether I'm going to be a lawnmower, a motorcycle, or some type of construction equipment. It's just going to depend on how tired I am. And I have to, you know, lighten up. You know, not be so daggone serious. But I'm going to tell you, I was made just like I was teased as a kid. About my teeth and my pigeon toe, I was made to feel just so bad about the fact that I snore. My ex used to kick me and kick me out the bed. It is nothing worse than being like jolted asleep. Jolted awake and not know what the heck just happened. It made me feel so unattractive, so unloved. I mean, it was, and I needed to share that because that was, I had a complex about that. And this, at this point, I'm like, you know what? I'll just be happy to get a good night's sleep. So, just accepting stuff like that. So some people might not be a lot, but it's funny what things just really damage us. You know, what damages us. You know, so, I just keep coming back and I keep working on me. And I can say that, you know, Dorothy's okay. That little girl that didn't like anything about herself is okay. I look at myself in the mirror and I say, you know what, you look damn good for 47 years old. You know, I got these little 23-year-olds talking about, hey, can I take you out? And I'm like, boy, I got a son your age. He said, He don't have to know.
Yeah.
Are you sure you 47? You know, so I mean, I'm at a point today where I love me. I'm accepting who I am. I'm excited about who I've become and what is in the future. And so I just keep coming back. And I want to thank you guys for your attention, and thank you for inviting me to share my experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you, sir.